This is a live look inside the U.S. Assure Club West at Everbank Field for the 2017 State of the Franchise, an off-season event that keeps getting bigger and bigger each and every year. We'll start today at 11 o'clock. And welcome in, J.P. Shadrick with you. This event has become a cornerstone of the off-season for the Jaguars organization, certainly on the business side. They present local revenue returns and what happens there each and every year, and maybe some new things to come, but this time it has a football feel to it. As well, football leadership has changed a bit. We'll hear from that today. Here's what else is to expect today. We'll hear from Tom Coughlin, the Executive Vice President of Football Operations, with Brian Sexton here shortly, and also on the podium today. Local revenue, always a topic at this event each and every year. We'll get an update on how London affects local revenue for the Jaguars. And then Daly's Place. The construction, as you know, is well underway on the south end of Everbank Field. And as always, you might hear a little bit of something about the future around Everbank Field. We welcome in Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. A cornerstone event in the offseason, always a newsy event, too.
Yeah, it is. And you know, there's a feel that, okay, we've heard from Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone and Shad Khan already at their introductory press conference. We've heard from Tom a couple of times. So you might think, well, there's not much to the state of the franchise this year. We've already seen the amphitheater. We know what's up with that. But I think there will be something to it. I know Tom Coughlin's going to speak. And guess what, JP? When Tom Coughlin speaks around here, it's worth listening to. So I think that's going to be a big deal. And I'm anxious to see at this event, you know, it's become a tradition. It's become something where you, in a couple of days beforehand, you hear people going to say, what's he going to talk about? What's Shad going to say this time? He's built up an expectation that there's going to be something real, something exciting, and he doesn't let you down.
And Mark Lamping kind of leads the presentation each and not kind of, he does lead the presentation each and every year, goes through and is as transparent as an organization can be in this type of environment with graphs and charts about how revenue is happening and things improve from year to year. I don't know of many other teams that do it like this.
Well, I don't follow every team in the detail to the Jaguars, but it's certainly unusual in the sense that most teams don't give you the transparency, but there's always been an awareness with Mark Lamping and Shad Khan that this is a different market and fans need to understand where this team is in the process. This is why this happens.
We mentioned the football side. Executive Vice President of Football Operations Tom Coughlin is live right now with Brian Sexton.
Thanks, JP. I've got Tom Coughlin. Coach, right out of the gate, free agency is just starting to boil over with this now tampering period. How do you balance a healthy salary cap with healthy needs on your roster? How do you make sure that you get it done in a disciplined way?
Well, you're trying to do the best you can, but you want the best players. And you have to realize sometimes you do have to overpay a little bit. That's the nature of the game. The salary cap goes up each year. It's the expectation. You have to be smart about it. You have to do a great job of finding the players that fit your team. But you definitely want to be very careful about overspending, but sometimes it is a fact of life.
So often you have to throw a contract out at a guy before you even get to meet with him. How do you know that these are the guys that you want, these kinds of players?
You study them, you do the research, you look at a lot of film, you talk to people who know them. You try to do the best you can with that. That, quite frankly, is not a very good item, to not be able to visit with the player before you actually do something about it. But your research has to be right on.
People are following it like crazy. It's not till 4 o'clock tomorrow that you can get anything done, but are you confident you're going to be able to achieve some of your goals?
Hopefully. That's what we're in it for.
Absolutely. All right, how about Indianapolis now? What was the most important thing that you came away with, you and your group up there? And then what are you trying to come away with? Is it a better understanding of the player? Confirming your grade that you already had on them?
But you got to watch them play football, too. I mean, you can watch them run and jump and all that. I personally enjoy the interview process. I think that in a short amount of time, if you structure it properly, you can find out an awful lot about the young man. But it's a way to have medical knowledge, which you may not ever get again, an opportunity really to evaluate him in that way. It's a way to evaluate the kid under pressure because he knows. You know, a lot of times our meetings are the night before, and the young man knows he's got to go out and perform the next day. So there's a lot of information that's shared in a very small amount of time.
And in a really hardcore football sense, offensive line is not a position that's loaded in the first round of the draft, and it doesn't appear like in free agency there's a lot of guys out there. How do you build an offensive line in today's day and age, Coach?
Got to get the right ones, pick the right ones, get them in your building, and don't let them go. The problem is that, you know, we say that about the offensive line. There's some athletic guys that are not quite as big as they've been in other years. It's the nature of the game in college, that the players are coming to us this way. But there are some that obviously are. So I hesitate always to say that a position is not as good as this, that, or the other thing. All you got to do is hit on the right one.
So how important is it for you to have Doug Marrone, who's an offensive line guy, and Pat Flaherty, who you relied on in New York?
Very, very, very important to be able to have guys that, you know, played the position, worked in that capacity, know what they're looking for, and I like the old school concept.
All right. Thanks so much for your time. Have a good one. Brian. All right, that's Coach Coughlin. We'll send it back to you guys.
Brian, thanks a lot. You know, I just thought about this.
I haven't the first idea what he said because I don't have a headpiece, but I'll bet there was toughness, I'll bet it was direct, and I'll bet it was awesome. Go ahead.
It was. You can watch the archive if you missed it on Jaguars.com coming up. Free agency, of course, opens tomorrow, so they've been busy downstairs. I see a few coaches up here today as well, so first time they've really kind of been out of the cocoon down there for the last few weeks. This is Tom Coughlin's first State of the Jaguars, State of the Franchise address. Well, let's go through some of the history of this event. Going back to 2013, that was when the new brand identity was realized, the logo introduction, and then the video board concept was first introduced in 2013. The next year, it had already started the construction, and then the club area and a roof conceptual drawing was introduced, and you had your first real bird's eye view at the shipyards area. 2015, the club area renovations were detailed a little more, and then the major shipyards proposal was unveiled. Last year, the clubs were under construction finally, the U.S. Assured Clubs, and then the Flex Field and Amphitheater project introduced. That is now Daly's Place, and of course, a year later, that's under construction and slated to be open by Memorial Day. So usually a year or so out from whenever something's introduced at a press conference like this, it's underway.
Well, and one thing you get a feel for Shad with, and it, you know, on the list you just read on that, if it's not ready, like if there's some kind of hold up with some area like the shipyards, but Shaw's not going to wait. We're going. So that's what you always get a feel from fourth day of the franchise is he is going to build. He is going to move forward. He is and I guess what strikes you, JP, is the pace at which he moves.
Yeah.
A lot of these things that we've talked about are things that you wouldn't be shocked if they happened for a franchise, but it's the volume of things, and it's when he says it, all of a sudden, less than a year later, all of a sudden you're seeing it. That's what strikes you about Shad. There's words, there's action, he's about both.
And yeah, Shad Khan leads the train on that, but there's city partnership involved
Absolutely.
As well in a lot of this stuff, and having the mayor and the city council work together with the Jaguars and Shad Khan, that's a big deal for downtown Jackson.
There's no question, and Shad and Mark, since day one, have emphasized it's a partnership. None of this happens without the city, but none of it happens without Shad either.
Right. So we'll see. Maybe we might have some ideas on something moving ahead here for the Jaguars in downtown Jacksonville a little later today, as we always do, it seems, in this thing. We'll also get the latest update on Daly's Place. That is well under construction on the south end. Still slated for Memorial Day. The concert schedule is out. They keep adding to it week after week. That's
You'll basically be there for 3 days with a sleeping bag in the back, won't you?
I might.
First day of Daly's Place.
Outside here.
You've been planning that for about 6 months. I know you.
Nothing wrong with
that's
that,
right?
Should be a fun one. We'll hear about that. You know, not often we get to hear a little of the business behind London. This is one of those events each year, and then in London when we get to hear about it there. But they'll break that down a little bit more year after year after 4 years there, how things have grown in the UK.
Well, and I think fans by now, most people who follow the team, who do more than just read the tweets about London, understand what London means. It's crucial to the overall local revenue. And when they say local revenue, they're not talking about revenue just produced in Jacksonville. They're talking about local revenue outside of the TV money. Wembley Stadium, local revenue, establishing that international market is an important piece to a 5, 6, 7 legged table, if you will. It's one of the legs. It's an important leg, and you always hear more about it today, the franchise. You'll hear more about it today. London is part of this. Jacksonville is the base part of it, and I'm sure that's what you'll hear some version of that again today. That's what it is.
As we look around the room, Shad Khan has made his way in. Mark Lamping, the Jaguars president, is right behind him as well. Their entourage has made their way up the stairs. It is a packed room today. Dignitaries in the first few rows. As we said, a lot of coaches are here into the U.S. Assure Club West at Everbank.
We're going dark, JP.
We're going dark because the presentation is just moments away from beginning here at Everbank Field. We're glad you're with us today on Jaguars.com. as we said, a cornerstone event each and every offseason. The state of the franchise, this time for 2017. What surprises do we have in store today?
If we told them, they wouldn't be surprised.
We'll find out.
But it'll be good.
In just a few minutes' time right here. Our coverage continues. We'll have post-game coverage as well. Post-event coverage as well. Jaguars owner Shad Khan scheduled to join us after the address today. We'll get his thoughts, the first thoughts, after the presentation from Jaguars president Mark Lamping. Let's go to the presentation now here at Everbank Field in the U.S. Assured Club West, the 2017 State of the Franchise, moments away.
If everybody could go ahead and from the back come on in and fill in the seats. There's a lot of seats available up here, and we'll be getting started here in just a minute. Thank you.
How about that video? That's pretty cool. So, good morning, everyone. It's my honor to welcome our guests, members of the news media, for our fifth annual State of the Franchise address and the first one here in the new U.S. Ashore Club. This space, I think everyone remembers, last year was under construction. And if you look around here, what a difference today. There's no better club experience in the NFL. And for that, I must salute the city of Jacksonville and Ty Petway. Right here, coming right up. Perfect timing, Ty. Thank you. So, U.S. Assure, thank you for making this a reality. I'd also like to extend a special welcome to Lenny Curry, who is attending the second State of the Union franchise address as mayor of the great city of Jacksonville. And I'd like to point out, it's very important, that since Mayor Curry took office, the Jaguars are undefeated in London, 2-0. So thank you, Mayor Curry. And now, if you can handle the pressure, please put those powers to the games in Jacksonville. It's okay, so help us make a difference. We're waiting for our president of the Jacksonville City Council, Lori Boyer. I hope she'll be here. And we have our city council member, Reggie Gaffney, right here. Thank you, Reggie. And thank you all for the city of Jacksonville. Yes, thank you. Let me also welcome fans everywhere who are watching on Jaguars.com and Jaguar supporters. I mean, that's a key distinction. Those who are joining us online and throughout the United Kingdom. Our annual home game in London continues to be a very, very important element of our critical local revenue stream. And let me be clear, calling London and the entire UK our second home has also been a lot of fun. For me and I think a lot of other people in Jacksonville, we really enjoyed that. We now have 55,000 members of... Lori, welcome. Thank you. Yeah, so... Councilman? Sorry. Okay, thank you. Holy. So... we have 55,000 members of the Union Jacks fan club. Those are supporters we didn't have 5 years ago in the UK. Other teams have a lot more supporters, but we are growing at the fastest pace in London as an NFL team. And to the American football players in the UK, thank you for selling our Jag 7 flag football tournament, selling it out in record time. The winners of the tournament will be our guests at the Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis. We're looking forward to hosting you and promise you a great time, except don't expect the Jacksonville weather. But it will be warm inside, I'm sure. So I'm very proud to have Mark Lamping and Tom Coughlin joining me today. Mark's been a constant for me ever since I arrived here in 2001. He's been spectacular in not only stabilizing, but now elevating the franchise and the Jaguars brand. So, Mark, thank you. And, of course, Mark is supported by a remarkable staff at every level of the Jaguars organization. Tom Coughlin represents everything the Jaguars stood for and... again, stand for when it comes to product on the field. So welcome and thank you, Tom. We're all looking forward to what Tom will mean to the Jaguars in his return to Jacksonville, accompanied by General Manager Dave Caldwell and with our new head coach, Doug Marrone, taking charge. I'm very confident our Jaguars of 2017 will be what we've all been waiting for and all our fans deserve. But before I continue, I do want to emphasize, this is the state of the franchise address, so we will touch on a lot of matters away from the field. But I do want to be clear, and I remain extremely unsatisfied with our performance of last year, and our disappointment predates the 2016 season. That's why you see Tom Coughlin here and why Doug Marrone is our head coach. I hope you share in my optimism, but no one is fonder of saying that actions speak louder than words. So I will just ask you to judge us by our actions and our results and in the season ahead and beyond. And I do want to thank you especially for your patience and your support here over the last 5 years. Off the field, though, I feel it's safe to say that Jacksonville Jaguars are as dynamic as any franchise in the NFL. Just over the horizon here, we'll be opening Daly's Place, which will further enhance and redefine the destination of the Everbank Field and the surrounding sports complex, and the immense promise of downtown Jacksonville. I've said it before, but it bears repeating, as goes downtown Jacksonville, so goes the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, we are one. What's good for downtown is good for the Jaguars. Mark will be touching on all the good times I had at Daly's Place, and I do want to thank Aubrey Edge and his team at Daly's for their commitment to the project and the quality of life here in North Florida. So, Aubrey, thank you. But let's once again kind of bring it back to football. If we are to have ambitions and high aspirations as an NFL franchise, as we do, we need a practice facility that will permit us to operate without considering weather as a factor. It's about time. The flex field at Daly's Place will answer the long-awaited call when it opens in June. Another example of our commitment to winning, and I can't wait for the first practice that starts 5 minutes early and finishes on schedule despite one of our Jacksonville thunderstorms rolling in. Daly's Place, though, should not be the end game. It will never be mission accomplished in Jacksonville. That's our reality operating an NFL franchise in Jacksonville, which for all its wonders, known and unknown, comes with challenges. In fact, larger market than ours, like San Diego and St. Louis, know those challenges too well. This is why we must evolve as a market, and we must evolve as a franchise, and we will do both. And this should not be a bad thing. The need to reinvent ourselves and play on the edge at all times should make us creative and hungry, and I believe it does. Starting with me, assembled everyone here today, whether you're an elected official, a guest, a representative of the news media, or a member of our staff, none of us are privileged. We've all had to scrape to get where we are today, and we are in Jacksonville. We're doing what we love in Jacksonville, Florida, and I, for one, am delighted to be able to say that, and I trust so are all of you. Because I love Jacksonville, we all love Jacksonville, soon you'll be learning more about our latest plans for shipyards. And while I know many of you can't wait to see what we envision for the shipyards, everything we're about to present is just as important to the Jaguars, to Jacksonville, and to you. So, without further ado, let's get started. And in fact, let's get fired up. So please welcome our Executive Vice President of Football Operations, Mr. Tom Coughlin.
Thank you and good morning. The timing of today's State of the Franchise meeting is significant because tomorrow, March 9th, is the beginning of the new league year in the National Football League. All 32 franchises, including the Super Bowl winner, recognize that the process, the quest to be champions, begins with the new league year. Last week, the National Scouting Combine was conducted in Indianapolis. All 32 teams, their medical, scouting, and coaching staffs present, evaluated some 300 college players. Medical examinations, psychological examinations, strength, speed, skill, performance, and team interviews. The days began at 7:30 a.m. with weigh-ins and ended with formal interviews at 11 p.m. Throughout it all, what stood out most to me in the interviews were the players who demonstrated a pure love of the game of football. And it stuck with me. Yes, size, speed, instinct, intelligence, ability, I get it. But our goal in reality is to surround ourselves with people whose passion lies in the love of the game of football, the love of competition, and the dominant desire to win. Teamwork is the essence of life. Teamwork is an interactive relationship whereby all of us are brought together to achieve results. Whether family, football, business, military, people must come together for the common good. Team first, team last, team always. Champions are won by teams who love one another, enjoy, and respect one another. Every person in this room, I'm speaking now to the Jaguars, obviously, every person in this room is a member of the Jaguars team. Every person in the room is critical to our success. We are all dependent on each other to do our job to the best of our ability. In the military, soldiers put their lives in the hands of men and women to their right and left. In professional football, we put our trust in the hands of the person to our right or our left. And it is a sacred trust. I have a story to share with you, a metaphor. This story applies to all of us, whatever position we might be in, whatever status. The title, Bruce Lee Limitations. Bruce was a champion martial artist. The message is powerful and very direct. And it matters not who it is the subject that matters. It is written by a writer friend who trained with Bruce Lee. Bruce had me up to 3 miles a day, really at a good pace. We'd run the 3 miles in 21 or 22 minutes, just under 8 minutes a mile. So this morning he said to me, we're going to go 5. I said, Bruce, I can't go 5. I'm a hell of a lot older than you are, and I can't do 5. He said, when we get to 3, we'll shift gears, and it's only 2 more miles, and you'll do it. I said, okay, I'll go for it. So we get to 3. We go into the 4th mile, and I'm okay for 3 or 4 minutes. And then I really begin to give out. I'm tired. My heart's pounding. I can't go anymore. And I say to him, Bruce, if I run anymore, and we're still running, if I run anymore, I'm liable to have a heart attack and die. And Bruce said to me, then die. It made me so mad that I went the full 5 miles. Afterward, I went to the shower, and then I wanted to talk to him about it. I said, why did you say that? He said, because you might as well be dead. Seriously, if you always put limits on what you can do, physical or anything else, it'll spread over the rest of your life. It'll spread into your work, into your morality, into your entire being. There are no limits. There are plateaus, but we must not stay there. We must fight ourselves beyond the plateaus. If it kills you, it kills you. A man must constantly exceed his level. Man's reach must exceed his grasp. It would seem to me that given our own challenge, our challenge to win, that a good place to start for each of us, Jaguars, is to push ourselves to do more, to reach for another level, to never be satisfied, to constantly strive for improvement. I suggest we adopt the term grit as a way to describe ourselves. Grit is guts. It's resilience. It's industriousness. It's tenacity. Grit is the ability to focus, to stay determined, to stay optimistic in the face of a challenge, and simply work harder than the next guy. Remember, we are all in this together. A goal is only as good as the price we have to pay to achieve it. And remember this, only those who will risk going too far can possibly find out how far they can go.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you, Shad. I've been fortunate to be here now for 5 years, and I can tell you one comment that I heard frequently over the last 5 years is, boy, it really was great when Tom was here. Well, now we know, and we're really excited about what the future holds. This is our 5th State of the Franchise presentation. You're going to hear some good news today. You're going to hear some not-so-good news. You're going to hear and come to the conclusion that there might be some reasons for concern, and you're going to hear a lot of reasons for tremendous optimism. And that's the most important thing today. And the one common theme that you will have, that you will see throughout this entire presentation, is everything is based on the simple challenge that we have from Chad, and that is to have a stable, sustainable, consistently competitive NFL franchise here in Jacksonville, Florida, for years and years to come. And most importantly, a franchise that this entire community is proud of. So let's start. We've always talked about local revenue. That message has been very consistent over each of the last four states, the franchise presentations. It's key to our financial stability. It's key to our long-term success. We have made some progress, but we got a long way to go. We've made progress, but we need to make more. And what you're going to hear today is we're making progress, but we need to make more progress, and we need to make it faster. This is what we're all about, and it starts in the upper left-hand corner, which is to enhance on-field performance. Nothing's more important in the Jaguars organization than what happens on the playing field on Sundays. We focus on stadium experience. Hopefully that will lead to fan loyalty, generate ticket sales and sponsorship and excitement. We've talked about new local revenue streams that are so critical to us, those revenue streams that are necessary to us to help offset some of the impact of being in one of the NFL's greatest, but one of the NFL's smallest markets, both in terms of population and the corporate composition of our marketplace. This gives us the ability to reinvest in the team and the infrastructure and continue this virtuous cycle of being able to deliver to our fans what's most important to them. I've heard Chad say many times, if you don't measure, you're not managing. So how do we measure? On the football side, it was very clear from the first time Tom walked back into the doors of Everbank Field, it's all about wins. On the business side, it's all about local revenue. They seem different, but they are very complementary. Because if you look at the teams in the National Football League that are in the top half in terms of local revenue, they average 1.3 more wins than the teams in the bottom half. And that may not seem like a lot, but most importantly, those teams that are in the top half of the league in local revenue are 50% more likely to advance to the playoffs. So yes, we focus on local revenue, but it is complementary to what the most important goal is, and that's winning. We operate in Jacksonville, and you're going to see charts that are laid out in this fashion frequently through today's presentation. And just to give you a little bit of an orientation, the gold bar in these cases represents Jacksonville. The teal bar represents the average NFL market. So in years past, we've shown you a lot of charts that compared all 32 teams. We're going to do some of that today. But more importantly, we're going to begin to put in perspective, how does Jacksonville function as it compares to the average NFL market? What this shows is, when you look at an overall population, so if we'll go all the way to the right, within an average NFL market, if you ask everyone who lives in that marketplace, are you a fan of the National Football League? On average, just under 59% of that population would say they're fans of the National Football League. In Jacksonville, it's different. It's a higher number. We are more developed as an NFL market, with 65.2% of people who live in Jacksonville saying they're fans of the National Football League. Should not come as a surprise at all, because this is such a strong football market. But then we factor in the size of Jacksonville as a market. And while there are a lot of, a very high percentage of Jacksonville residents that are fans of the National Football League, when you consider how small we are, the result is Jacksonville ranks 30th against all 32 NFL teams in terms of the number of people who live in this community that are fans of the National Football League. Again, not a surprise. Nothing has really changed over the 20-plus years that the Jaguars have been here. Everyone knows that Jacksonville is a smaller market. What it says is we have to recognize that, and we need to plan around it. This next chart gives you an idea of when you talk to fans in this marketplace, those that are fans of the National Football League, how many, what percentage say the Jaguars are their favorite team? We know this is a very special market for a lot of different reasons. One of the reasons it's such a special market is so many of us are blessed to have moved from someplace else to Jacksonville. Over half of us that live in Jacksonville are not from the state of Florida. NFL allegiances run very deep, and they're formed at a very young age. So it's not surprising that we have so many people that have come from outside of the state of Florida. We have a transient nature to our population, principally because of the impact and the presence of the military here in Jacksonville. That 36.2 of the NFL fans say the Jaguars is their number one favorite team. In an average NFL market, it's just about 50%. So we need to recognize this. We shouldn't ignore it. We obviously want that number to grow. And if you go back and look at some of the great years that we've had here in Jacksonville in terms of wins and losses, the highest that number's ever gotten, that's at 36.2 now, the highest it's ever been, and it was right around 2000 after the tremendous start the first 5 years of the Jaguars here in Jacksonville under Tom's leadership, multiple trips to the playoffs, two trips to AFC championships, still the bright glow of Jacksonville actually becoming an NFL city. It reached about 50%. So even back then, it was only about 50%, just about average. So we need to be sensitive to this. And then again, when you take a look at what that means as it relates to the number of people, let's look at this chart right here. This is the average NFL market. So this is the size of the market, the total number of people is up here. You come down here. All these people in teal are not fans of the NFL. And then you have this black square right here, which are people in that community that are fans of the NFL, but the local team's not their number one team. And then down here in goals, in the average NFL market, these are the number of fans that say the home team is their number one team. And if you compare that, the average NFL market has as many fans of their local team as we do total here in Jacksonville. So we have to understand we're not the largest market. We're a tremendous market in terms of the interest in football, but we have to continue to try to find new and different ways to go about our business because the same game plan in a big market does not necessarily produce the same results here in a smaller market. Television ratings, a lot of talk about television ratings this year. And this gives you a look at, this is the NFL average ratings, 28.5, just over 28, and it dipped down a little bit this year from 28 to 26. A lot of talk about that, obviously the impact of the election. And you saw, and you see what we think is way too big of a drop in terms of the local television ratings from just over 23 to just under 20. We've gone from 22nd to 24th in the league in terms of television ratings for our local games. What was interesting is that we were running in the mid-20s until about the middle of the season. And as the prospects for the season waned, so did the number of viewers. And obviously we were impacted somewhat by the elections and all the other demands on people's time during this fall. The one thing about this is what you normally see in small markets across the National Football League is the television ratings generally are a lot higher than the average NFL rating. You see that in markets, let's use Buffalo as an example, Green Bay as an example, even New Orleans, the markets that are similar size to Jacksonville. The television rating in those markets are significantly higher than what we have in Jacksonville. Some of that is because of team performance, but it's not all team performance. In those markets where there's not a lot to do, where there's not a lot to follow, the NFL team means even more to that community, and the television ratings tend to be very high. Again, given the makeup of our community, the fact that so many people have come from outside, and the transient nature, we can't count on that as an advantage. So one thing about television ratings in Jacksonville, if you put a great product on the field, the television ratings are going to be great. If you don't put a great product on the field, given all the other opportunities we have here in Northeast Florida and Southern Georgia, the television ratings are going to be challenged. So we talk about local revenue. What's our local revenue strategy? It's been the same each year that we've been down here since Shad purchased the team. Continue to invest in the fan experience is important for us. Create new revenue streams. Try to find, if we can't count on generating revenue on par with other NFL teams in the traditional ways of generating revenue, well, we shouldn't just sit back and say we're not going to be able to compete. What we should do is say, let's find new revenue streams. and we focus a lot on that. Continue to support the community. The Jaguars are very fortunate to be here. The Jaguars take a tremendous amount out of this community. It's imperative that we continue to put just as much back into the community. And average ticket price. Average ticket price is critically important. I'll be talking a lot about that today. So let's go through what we've done. In terms of investing in the fan experience, thanks to a wonderful partnership with the city of Jacksonville, a partnership which is based on both parties being aligned with on the same goals and Shad's willingness to write big checks. We've made a lot of improvements in this city-owned stadium. Stadium Wi-Fi back in 2014, the video boards, the improvements in the north end zone, FanDuelville, where we sit here today, the upgrades to the U.S. Assure clubs, which happened last year. We've made continuous improvements in terms of concessions. The Fields Auto Group Terrace Suite. Last year we had this presentation in the Terrace Suite because the clubs were under construction. This year we're in the U.S. Assure clubs because the Fields Auto Group Terrace Suites are under construction. So you're going to see a similar reimagining and hopefully just as impactful renovation of the Terrace Suite area for next season. And then finally, something this year, the Jaguars Concert Series. One of the things that we have to do is that we need to make those weekends when the Jaguars are at home an even bigger event for this entire community. One of the ways to do that is to try to extend to the degree we can the number of events that are regularly scheduled around Jaguar games. So with the opening of Daly's Place, every evening, the night before a Jaguars game, there will be a concert. And we're going to try to turn this Sundays that are always a big deal here in Jacksonville into more of a weekend. And maybe we can even extend it to Friday. We'll see what happens. But continued investment in the fan experience. Average ticket price, critically important. We have made some progress in terms of our average ticket price. We still rank very, very low in the National Football League. But we've been creating new premium products each year since 2014. And fortunately, the community has responded by purchasing those products. We introduced variable pricing where single tickets are different based on the opponent. We've introduced dynamic pricing where the ticket price for a particular game varies based on supply and demand. We've been implementing strategic price increases where we can. Last year was the best example of that, particularly here in the U.S. Assure clubs. We made a big investment in terms of the experience, and we were able to raise ticket prices along with that. And fortunately, the club seat customers responded. And also loyalty pricing, which provides our existing season ticket holders with a financial incentive to renew early. And if they renew early, they get better pricing than if they renew late. Creating new revenue streams. Again, this is a big focus on what we're trying to do. And this is where, you know, we have 5 items up there. We need to get to 10 items as soon as we possibly can. London is a great a source of revenue. We generate revenue in the UK. It comes back here in Jacksonville. It makes us more stable as a franchise here in Jacksonville. Bold Events, the company that Shad launched, which deals with all of our event business, non-football event business here at Everbank Field as well as at Daly's Place. Daly's Place Flex Field. And we'll be talking at the end of this presentation about the shipyards. And supporting the community. This has been the hallmark of the Jaguars from the very beginning with Wayne and DeLars in terms of their focus on giving back to the community. This past year, the Jaguars Foundation contributed over $2.5 million to nonprofit organizations. We were able to involve our fans in many events, particularly through the 50-50 raffles at Jaguar games, raised $765 million in that way. Our players do an awesome job in terms of getting involved in the community. And, you know, when you look at the schedule for a NFL player, the limited amount of free time that they get, and the fact that so many of our players and coaches and cheerleaders and mascot take time and share some of their very precious free time with the community really speaks to the quality of the people on the football side of this organization. Jacksonville is a military town. It's a significant portion of what the economy here is. The city of Jacksonville understands that, focused very much on becoming and enhancing our reputation as a military-friendly town. We're recognized as one of the most military-friendly towns in the entire country. One of the reasons it's viewed that way is because this city really cares about those people that are coming out of the service and assisting them in terms of their reintegration into the society. It's a serious initiative for the city of Jacksonville, and the Jaguars are proud to be able to financially support that program. The Jaguars Jacksonville Veterans Reintegration Center served almost 11,000 veterans last year, and we've been donating items to charities across the board. We're really proud about this since Shad purchased the Jaguars. Our annual grants that come from the Jaguars Foundation has increased from just over $1 million to, as I showed you a moment ago, up to $2.5 million. Double-digit increases each and every year, and this doesn't happen without the generosity of the Kahn family. The overwhelming majority of dollars that are distributed by the Jaguars Foundation come from Shad and his family. So let's turn our attention to local revenue. We've talked about how important this is. This is what happened last year. Local revenue grew by 8.6%. We feel okay about that. Don't feel great about it. The one thing that you'll see in a few minutes, yes, we are making progress, but so are other National Football League teams. So we are all getting a lot better at what we do. And again, local revenue is that revenue that we're generating from sources here in Jacksonville. Ticket sales, sponsorship, spending at the stadium, our media relationships, parking. And as you can see, the share of our local revenue that was generated in London is 11.1%. That's actually down from last year at 12.5%. Is that something we should be concerned about? I don't think so, but it is something that we should explain. We now deal in the world of the exchange rate between the U.S. dollar and the British pound. We collect dollars in London in British pounds, and we export them back to the U.S. in terms of U.S. dollars. And as the U.S. dollar gets stronger against the British pound, the value of that coming back from pounds to dollars is less. So what happened, the exchange rate on our game day, which is the most important settlement date for us, the exchange rate dropped by 15.3%. So the pound bought 15.3% fewer dollars on that day than it did versus the year before. So that's working against us. Right off the bat, we're down 15%. But in terms of total dollars, we're only down 2%. So obviously there's growth, but we're losing most of that growth in terms of the exchange rate. And that's not something we control. We don't get focused on it. But it is something we're going to have to ride year in and year out. And many companies here in Jacksonville that do business internationally understand the exposure that exchange rates represent. So what happened in terms of our local revenue rank? Again, this analysis, as we explain each year, is always lagged by 12 full months. So what we're presenting today is where we stood amongst all other NFL teams as of the end of the 2015 season, not the 2016 season. That's just the way the NFL reports it. So after taking a big jump from 13 to 14, we flattened out at 25. You know, said earlier, we think that we can do a better job of supporting Tom and the people that work so hard on the football operations side if we get into the top half. So that means 16 or higher. That's our goal. It's going to be hard to get there, but that's the best thing we can do to support football operations. So, as I said earlier, we're making progress. We need to make more progress. We need to make that progress on a much faster pace. This shows you our local revenue broken down by its different categories: ticketing, sponsorship, revenue from the stadium, and then we have a little bit of revenue that comes from some other sources. As you can see, the overwhelming majority of our local revenue comes from ticket sales. Not surprising. And ticket sales revenue is a function of what you charge for the tickets, multiplied by the number of tickets that you actually sell. So does that have a relationship in terms of how you do, in terms of local revenue? This basically charts every NFL team from 2011 to 2015. And this basically tries to show the relationship between average ticket price and then how you do in terms of local revenue versus other teams. As you can see, there's a very clear relationship between average ticket price and how you rank in terms of local revenue. If you're going to be in the top half of local revenue in the National Football League, your average ticket price is going to have to be in the top half of the National Football League. Have we made progress with our average ticket price? We've made a little. Now, quite honestly, it's really hard to sell in a big price increase if you're not winning football games. You know, it's hard to do it at any time. No one writes you a thank you letter for raising their ticket prices. But it's particularly hard when winning means so much to our fans. If you aren't winning, you better be creative in terms of trying to raise your ticket prices. And we've tried to do that, and we've had some success, most of it by trying to change the seating mix, introducing new premium products, selling those products, and it's had an impact on our average ticket price. We had a nice bump this past year from just over 100 to 106, and that was driven principally by two things. One, we were able to take full advantage of dynamic pricing because we had a very good home schedule this year, particularly with the Packers game and the Broncos game. And then we also, given the big investment that was made in the U.S. Assure clubs, we took out some of the inventory, and we finally got the demand and the inventory balanced. And because of that, we were able to sell through a price increase for the club seats last year, and it had a big impact, relatively speaking, in terms of our average ticket price. This next chart shows where do the Jaguars rank in terms of average ticket price versus all other 32 teams. As you can see, we have the fourth least expensive tickets in all the NFL. And, you know, we don't worry about the perception. We don't spend a lot of time fighting the perception. But from outside this marketplace, whenever you talk to someone, their first question is, you know, how many tickets do you guys actually sell? Because there's this perception that not a lot of tickets are sold in Jacksonville. Last year, we averaged just over 60,000 tickets sold in a stadium that holds just over 64,000. But for a moment, let's assume we sold every single ticket. What would happen to our ranking compared to all other NFL teams? Well, we'd actually go down. If every NFL team sold out their stadium, this is where we would be. So we really have to get at average ticket price, do it in a responsible way for our customers, make sure that we don't make Jaguars football unaffordable or not accessible to everyone in this community, but we have to get after average ticket price, and we have to do it in a very aggressive way. So how have we found ourselves in this situation? This is really interesting. A few people in this room will remember it very well, Tom Coughlin obviously being one of them. This is our average ticket price for our general admission seats. And what you see in gold is the actual price. So you can see what's happened to our GA ticket price over the years. And what you see in gray here is that ticket price just raised by inflation. Now, what's really interesting, you go back to year one of the Jaguars. Guess where the Jaguars were in the National Football League in terms of average ticket price? They were number one. Not only were they number one, they were 20% higher than the team behind them. Now, that was influenced by a lot of things. The excitement, the large number of club seats that Everbank Field has. And just to put things into perspective, the average ticket price the first year the Jaguars were here playing at Everbank Field, the average ticket price was 50% higher than the average ticket price for the Carolina Panthers in Charlotte, the other expansion team. So the Jaguars did an unbelievable job of getting out of the starting blocks in terms of average ticket price. And it was reflected in terms of where the Jaguars were in terms of local revenue within the National Football League. The Jaguars in the first few years ranked in the top two of the National Football League. So what has happened since then? Well, it's been tough to keep up with inflation, with ticket pricing. This next chart shows the same analysis with the club seats. Here you can see the step up that we made last year, but we still got a ways to go. Great start, haven't been able to sustain that, and now we have to figure out how do we supplement that, because we know we can't get to where we have to be in terms of local revenue solely by increasing ticket price. But it has to be a very important part of our plan. So what else has happened over those 20 years? Well, we haven't kept up with inflation on ticket pricing, and a lot of teams have moved into new stadiums. The interesting impact is if you take a look at an NFL team, their average ticket price the year before they move into a new stadium and the year after, it goes up 50%. So we haven't kept up with inflation, which is on us. We still continue to operate in a wonderful stadium here in Jacksonville, but other teams have opened new stadiums. And if you look at that, just take a look at what's happened since the Jaguars arrived. 21 teams have moved into new stadiums since the Jaguars came to Jacksonville. Five teams are playing in stadiums that have benefited from over $300 million in renovations, major renovations in Kansas City, most recently down in Miami. There are new stadium plans in the works in Washington. The well-publicized potential move of the Raiders from Oakland to Las Vegas, and then the actual moves of the Rams from St. Louis to Los Angeles, and most recently the Chargers from San Diego to Los Angeles. And then you have the Bills and the Jaguars as the only teams in the National Football League that aren't in the middle of planning for a new stadium, haven't moved into a new stadium in the last 20-plus years, and hasn't benefited from major investments. This has had a huge impact on why we are where we are in terms of average ticket price. But ticket sales isn't the only thing that's important to us. We are very fortunate to receive extraordinary commitment from local companies. Of course, we wish there were more large corporations based in Jacksonville. But those companies that are here do an unbelievable job in terms of supporting the Jaguars. Everbank, Baptist Health, Dreamfinders Home, Florida Blue, Publix, U.S. Assure, and we've talked many times about U.S. Assure and the special relationship we have with the Pettway family, and I see Tom Pettway's here today, one of the original owners of the Jaguars. And that type of commitment, web.com, we can't replace that. Those are our largest Jaguar sponsors, but by no means our only sponsors. And we've seen very similar support for Daly's Place, which is just now underway. Daly's, a huge sponsor, and has made a huge commitment. And the best thing about almost all these companies, they're Jacksonville-based companies. FIS, we're very proud to welcome them as a major supporter of Daly's Place. Pepsi, Rimrock Properties, St. Vincent and the Ascension Health System, and Swisher International. Historic companies based here in Jacksonville are providing their support, and we could not be more appreciative of the support we've received from the corporate community. So we supplement and we try to address some of our challenges in Jacksonville through our involvement in London. And just to remind everybody, London's 10.5 times the size of Jacksonville. The capacity of Wembley is 1.3 times. The average ticket price is somewhere between 1.1 and 1.4 times. We've had to present it this way because we've had this impact of the exchange rate. And ticket revenue potential is anywhere from 1.5 to almost 2 times the potential of revenue here at Everbank Field. Much larger market, a much more competitive market, but a much larger market. So let's take a look at that same chart I showed you earlier, which shows you in terms of the revenue potential of playing a game at Everbank Field. Remember, if we sold every ticket at our current pricing, the amount of revenue that would be generated from that game in Jacksonville would be second lowest in the National Football League. This is the revenue as it relates to our games in London. And what changes here is the exchange rate. So even with the great strengthening of the U.S. dollar against the British pound, the revenue, this was just last year, the revenue potential is just about average in terms of the average NFL team. And when the exchange rate is a little weaker, dollar versus pound, it puts us up in almost the top quartile in terms of teams. That's the impact of London and our game at Wembley. What else is happening? The game is growing. It's a big priority for the National Football League, a huge partnership this year with BBC, which is the number one television and digital platform in the UK. The number of hours of NFL broadcast was up 27%. The number of people in the UK that actually watched NFL content was up 43% year over year. The number of hours up 24%, 3.6 million streams online, and Game Pass, which is the online access platform to NFL games outside of the U.S. About 20% of the global subscribers were in the U.K., and it was up significantly, 36% year over year. And this is great work by the National Football League, and in particular National Football League International, both their offices here in New York as well as in London. What else has happened? It's not just ticket sales. The corporate community is getting on board with the NFL in London. This is total sponsorship sales in the UK. Again, 100% credit goes to the great work that NFL International is doing. And corporations in the UK are responding. Membership in our fan club, the Union Jacks, started at zero. Now we're up to just over 55,000 members. The fan base for the Jaguars in the UK is growing and growing and growing. We're even selling a few more jerseys than we did in the past. Jersey sales were up 44.1%. And those of you that have been to the games at Wembley, you can really sense the way that the crowd is changing, not only in terms of their support for the Jaguars, but more importantly, the frequency of Jaguar jerseys that you see in the stands. Versus all other 31 teams. And we're working in close conjunction with the NFL to help develop American football in the UK, both in terms of developing future fans, but also raising the awareness of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Shad had mentioned in his opening comments, we conducted for the first time last year, this year is the second year, a national 7-on-7 football competition. We thanks to many of our coaches and former players, we actually had an academy, a skills academy for American football players based in Europe. We had a coaching academy for our coaches in the UK and throughout Europe that are coaching American football. We exposed them to some of the latest coaching techniques from our coaches and former players. We tested a program similar to the Honor Rose program that we have here at Everbank Field for our game at Wembley. And one program we're really excited about because it's consistent with the U.S. government priorities as well as U.K. government, and that's fighting childhood obesity. We have a program called JAGTAG that had over 1,500 participants in just over 30 middle schools in the London market last year, and that number may double this year. So we're getting kids more active. We're introducing them to American football, and we're introducing them to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So there's a lot in it for us, but we only exist because of this community. What's in this for the city of Jacksonville? Well, let's talk about awareness. This is a chart which shows the relative search frequency of Jacksonville on Google in the UK. And you can see over the years that we've been playing there, more and more people are searching Jacksonville. So I think the awareness of Jacksonville is getting higher. I've said many times, anytime you can put Jacksonville and London in the same sentence, that's pretty good for Jacksonville. So what's really driving that? This is the monthly searches of Jacksonville. You can see the huge spikes when the Jaguars play in the UK. So we're doing a lot of good for the Jaguars from a financial standpoint. We also think that we're doing good for the city of Jacksonville. And at the first press conference when Roger Goodell came down and Shad talked about the importance of our game in London, Shad didn't say that the success is going to be measured based on what it does to our local revenue. He said it's going to be judged on the number of actual jobs that are brought back from the UK to Jacksonville. And doing pretty well. Almost 1,500 jobs are directly tied to the work that the city does, that the Chamber of Commerce does, around the Jaguar games in London. So bringing jobs back to Jacksonville and leaving a very positive legacy for everyone in Jacksonville, whether you happen to be a fan of the NFL or the Jaguars or not. So London's growing. So is the interest in London amongst NFL teams. As you can see, these are the number of teams that have played in London. Actually, Tom was part of this game, the first regular season game played in London. And now you can see we've gone from one game, the NFL's gone from one game a year to two games a year to three games a year. And this year there's four games. So a lot of teams see in London what we see in London. And when you try to get a sense for who those teams are, this takes you back to that chart I showed earlier. It's interesting that those teams, these teams that have problems in their markets, this team that's operating in a very small market, these teams that are a combination of small market, stadium renovations, and then even some newer teams. Although I would have to say that the Falcons played in London, the 49ers played in London, and the Vikings played in London prior to the opening of their new stadiums. So everyone sees London strategically the same way we do, in that it can provide a real boost from a financial perspective. As long as you develop the program, I think the one thing we've done here in Jacksonville, thanks to the cooperation of the mayor and the Chamber of Commerce, I think we're the only team that has figured out a way to make sure that the residual benefits of playing in London accrue not only to the team and to the league, but also to the local community. So London continues to be extremely important to us. New revenue streams, we have to stay focused on that. We're really excited that come Memorial Day weekend, we'll be opening Daly's Place. Again, thanks to the many supporters, the sponsors, and the response from the community has been outstanding in terms of ticket sales. To remind you of what this is going to look like when it's complete. Tom, those doors will be closed for practices. We can guarantee you that. This is what it looks like for a nighttime performance. And the indoor practice field. These were pictures taken as of yesterday. As you can see, a lot of progress has been made. Unfortunately, there is a lot of progress to come between now and May 27th. So all of the steel is erected. This is the indoor practice facility, the flex field, we call it. And you can begin to see the seating bowl being constructed. So the stage for the amphitheater is right in here. And you can see this area right here. This is actually back of house. So dressing rooms. And this is actually the loading dock for the artists to come in. This is the stage right here. This is a view from the east side of the stadium, and you can begin to see the balconies forming. This is the second level balcony, which actually connects to the field's auto terrace suite. And then this is the first level balcony that actually connects to the main concourse and the Bud Light Zone. Again, this is the back of house, and this is the loading zone, loading dock. 13 concerts have been announced already. We kick off on May 27th. We're going to have 7 concerts before Jaguar games, Jaguar home games. That's a total of 20, and we will have around 35 concerts between Memorial Day and the end of the year. So we've announced 13. There'll be announcements rolling out week after week. And this is going to bring a lot of people to downtown Jacksonville. And hopefully it's financially successful. We think it will be. But also, just as important, it will add to the quality of life in downtown Jacksonville and hopefully encourage more people to visit, more people to work, and more people to live downtown. While we do have the media here, and you are the way that we connect with our fans, we do have a few things for sale that are still for sale in Daly's Place. We have some great premium products that are available. If you purchase those, you get access to them for all shows at Daly's Place. These are a couple of premium products called lounge boxes, which are located in the lower level of Daly's Place. This is another premium area that's located at the back of the first balcony, so close access to the existing Bud Light Party Zone. These are all available now. And then we talked about Fields Auto Terrace Suite. This is our existing terrace suite. Upgrades are underway right now to benefit not only patrons of Jaguar games, but also patrons at Daly's Place, because now the terrace suites will not only open to the stadium, it will open to Daly's Place via a glass bridge, which we think will be pretty cool. New furniture, increased seating capacity inside Daly's Place, a full redesign, and a glass bridge to Daly's Place. And there's season tickets for Daly's Place events available right now. And all you need to do is go to dailysplace.com. The shipyards. Every year, it seems like we talk about what's on the horizon. This is a significant project for a lot of reasons. Probably the most significant project that we've ever talked about, because we think this project, more than anything else we've done or others have done, will have the most significant impact on downtown Jacksonville. And as Shad said, as downtown Jacksonville goes, so go the Jaguars. We submitted a response to the city's RFP this morning. The responses are due today. It's one of the reasons we chose today for the state of the franchise, because it fits into our long-term plans. We submitted our proposal, and we hope there were a bunch of other proposals as well, because at the end of the day, what's most important to us is that this prime property on the banks of one of the most historic rivers in this country is brought to its full potential. And if we are the party to do that, that's awesome. If there's somebody better that can do it, that's great as well. Let me take you through a little bit of a portion of what our plan looks like, just to orientate everyone. This is Everbank Field. We're right there inside the U.S. Assure Clubs. This is Daly's Place and the indoor practice facility, the baseball grounds, and Veterans Memorial Arena. The property that we're talking about extends from this edge and extends down towards this point, which is right next door to the Berkman Tower that is in a little bit of disrepair. So our goal is pretty simple. It's to have a classic mixed-use development, a place where people can come and play and where they can work and where they can live. And starting from the east end going west, you'll notice a few things. One, we've illustrated that the Hartbridge Expressway has been taken down, where cars coming off the expressway will come down at grade. I know that's a big priority for the mayor and the city for a lot of reasons, which are unrelated to development. We think it's a wonderful idea because we think it makes development easier, and the development that goes onto the banks of the St. Johns River will likely be more successful if this project is completed. And the last thing in the world we need is another project on the shipyards that doesn't get completed. I think this community has gone through that on a couple occasions. You'll also notice that there are some elevated lanes right here. In our plan, these are left in place. And one of the defining features here is returning one of those elevated lanes into a pedestrian and cyclist elevated park, almost Jacksonville's mini version of the High Line in New York, where it'd be an elevated public park that is exclusively accessible by pedestrians and people on bikes, and a way to connect downtown in the area around Liberty Street to a new park which will be created on the banks of the St. John's River. So starting again here on the east, one of the key elements of this will be a high-end hotel connected by a pedestrian bridge to the stadium. We've also shown the potential of some expansion with some exhibition space. And then this area in pink is really mixed use, low-rise office buildings, a high-energy sports and nautical-themed entertainment district to complement the great work that's going on in the Douro area right here, some residential, and really being very aggressive in terms of interfacing with the river, not only a reconfiguration of the marinas, but making it very easy for people to travel by boat or by water taxi to events in the shipyard. So this is a stop for a water taxi. This is a stop for a water taxi. And the concept is we have this wonderful river. Let's make it easier for people to use the river to move up and down from one spot to another. It's something that's very unique for this community. Why don't we take full advantage of our uniqueness? And as you continue to go west, this is a park area. Now, keep in mind, in the past, this was the shipyards area, and this was Metropolitan Park. What our plan does is the total amount of green space doesn't change. The total amount of parkland doesn't change. All we're doing is putting it in different places. And we're really focusing on this area right here. Why are we doing that? Because we all know that there are some environmental issues below the surface in the shipyards area. And as long as you don't go below the surface, you don't have to worry about what's below. That's the perfect place to put a park. So what we're doing is we're putting a park in an area where it would be most difficult to be able to develop. And we have a really interesting concept here. This will be more of a veterans theme type park. Perhaps that's where the USS Adams would be docked. I think their actual agreement with the city is over here. But the idea of this being a veteran-themed park that connects to downtown. But the other thing that's interesting about this is this connection to Hogan's Creek. And while a lot of people know Hogan's Creek a lot better than I do, it's a very spectacular, at one time was very spectacular, and its concept sustains till today. And that is there's a series of parks along Hogan's Creek that goes almost all the way up to Shands Hospital. And the idea is, what a perfect place to encourage kayaking, canoeing, not only going up Hogan's Creek, but also out into the St. John's River. So we're really excited about what this park could mean, and also the connection that it could create to the rest of downtown. And as we go further to the west, a concentration of residential, and then we're obviously watching very closely with what's going to happen in this area right here. You know, there's talk about what happens in the redevelopment of that city-owned property. So we're excited about what this can do for downtown. We're excited by extension how it could support our goal to have a stable, sustainable NFL franchise here in Jacksonville. We know it's a project that's going to take many years to complete, but we're ready to get started. And if there's somebody better than us, let's them get started, and we will be their biggest cheerleader. One thing I do want to point out here, because I'm sure people will notice it. We have put in some parking garages here. This is more of a second or third phase. The reality is if our goal is to bring thousands of more people downtown into this area a lot of nights a year, we got to make sure we have enough parking. So there could be the need to change some of the parking, and we don't think the best place to put parking is on the banks of the St. John's River. We have a few renderings here. What I do want to caution you on, these renderings are sort of for position only. They're designed to illustrate scale only. They're not designed to say this is exactly what this development could look like. So this is a a view from the St. John's River into that park area that we talked about. This is a reconfigured marina. This is an entertainment district that connects to the Douro district. This is some office and residential. The hotel is back behind that. You can see these elevated lanes. First, the lane for automobile traffic, and then this is for pedestrian cyclists only. This is another view of that. Gives you a better sense of what this pedestrian cyclist connection would look like. Be a pretty cool way to get down to downtown Jacksonville. Again, you get a sense for the scale of the building. Again, this isn't a design. It's just to give you an idea of the size that that we contemplate. Another feature we have here, this actually shows the Adams on the other side of this opening. This is Hogan's Creek right here. And the idea that we connect the Riverwalk, which currently stops about right here, to have that Riverwalk connect all the way to just east of the existing Metropolitan Park, with the idea of having, you know, a nice floating pedestrian bridge, to have some things that define this district and do it in a way that's legitimately Jacksonville. And to take advantage of Bay Street and really activate Bay Street to take this almost 1 mile stretch from the stadium to downtown Jacksonville along Bay Street, do some major upgrades, make it much more of a boulevard, make it much more pedestrian-friendly, and activate it at street level, as you see a little bit as you get to downtown Jacksonville, particularly in, I guess, what they call the Elbow District. So this is a broad program. It represents a huge commitment from SHOD, and we think that as a community we'll be much closer to realize our full potential if we start by realizing the full potential of the property just across the street from here. Thank you very much.
There you have it. The state of the franchise for 2017 is in the books, and Shad Khan, Mark Lamping will join us here on set coming up in moments. Dan Edwards, the Senior Vice President of Communications, giving some instructions to the media after the fact here. So the bid is in on the shipyards. That's the breaking news. How about that?
Yeah, and I think it's always important, and Mark emphasized it over and over again today, it all ties in. And it seemed like his message for the most part was, look, we're ready to get started on this. We don't care who does it, but we want a quality facility there. It's important for downtown Jacksonville. What's important for downtown Jacksonville is important for the Jaguars. So it's more of a message of, hey, let's get going. If you want us to lead it, fine, but let's do something and let's make it good.
Interesting thoughts about the local revenue and the exchange rate in London, how that affected some things the last year or so. Anything big? What's your biggest takeaway, I guess, from the whole presentation?
There's always so much in this. First of all, I thought it was interesting that Shad said, hey, at the very beginning, I'm not satisfied with what's going on in the field. That's what Tom Coughlin's all about. Tom Coughlin told some Bruce Lee stories, which I'll be writing about. But, again, Tom's clearly setting the tone in this. Toughness, grit, the whole thing. Shad's not satisfied. He's giving this thing over to Tom, set the tone. Tom's tone is grit. Guess what? He said grit needs to be the defining thing for some people around here. A couple of days, I'll bet people are going to be gritty. You know, I mean, because his will is usually the way. Getting into what Mark said, so much about local revenue, he emphasized early on, look, there's some concerning things about this market. That's our reality. But they're confident. They know what their challenges are. It was setting up, hey, downtown Jacksonville needs to be good for this franchise. It all needs to be part of the mosaic, if you will, the big picture. That's what I took away is, let's get started on this. This is our next step. Shad started off. Daly's Place is just the beginning. It's not the end game. Well, there is no end game with these people. They want to continue building. Mark talked about needing 10 revenue streams rather than the five
yeah,
they have.
That's right.
This is one more step in that. Time to go. Let's get started. Let's do it right.
Shad Khan, Jaguars owner, scheduled to sit down with us, and here he comes right now live on Jaguars.com after the 2017 State of the Franchise. Mr. Khan, great to see you.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
You know, there are always, in this address every year, big ideas and something in the shipyards or in the clubs or moving forward, but the execution of those ideas is the hard part, right?
That is the hard part, and amazingly enough, if you go back, look at some of the ideas, starting with whether it was the big boards, redoing the terraces, the cabanas. I mean, it seems like a long time ago. That was, you know, just 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And then now with Daly's Place, Flexfield. So all of these things we've kind of visioned, articulated. Most importantly, they're happening right now.
Yeah.
And you said early on, Daly's Place is not the end game. And for you, there is no real end game for this, isn't it? It's about continued growth. It's about continuing to build the infrastructure of Jacksonville, right?
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's like being on a treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
If you stop, you fall behind. So
Or
fall down, yeah. So it's not only you have to keep moving forward, you have to pick up the pace. I think the downtown development, you know, shipyards, that's been something way before my time. Vision talked about it, and I think, you know, what we're doing now is dealing with the realities and some of the environmental issues and what is can be possible cost-wise, whatever. But do it, and do it, you know, something that is very, very iconic and in great taste and style around the world.
Do you have a level of optimism, or is that a fair question?
I have a great amount of optimism because I think, you know, I think the city is serious. And again, somebody else can do it better, we're all for it. I think we're going to benefit, Jaguars benefit, just by something happening. So, you know, we'd love to do it because nobody else, if they're not interested, that's okay too. We'll do it.
Whatever happens there certainly helps downtown Jacksonville. How would your design and this group's design help downtown Jacksonville in the core here?
Well, I think what it does is raises the bar and raises the bar in the quality of offerings, in the architectural style, in the amenities. And when that happens, everybody has to raise their bar.
Two footballish questions real quick. You mentioned early on, even before you got started, the dissatisfaction with the past, and that your thought is that dissatisfaction is going to end very quickly. You're confident going forward.
Well, I think this is the time of the year where we're all optimistic. So hope springs eternal. But I, you know, I didn't know Tom really before, you know, the process, and I think I know why he had the success here. I know why he had the success at the Giants, and you know, I'm highly confident. But, you know, Dave Caldwell, he's been here, did a great job on talent. He'll continue that. And, you know, obviously Doug Marone. So it's we've got a team on football. We've got more football IQ power in the building. And all of that translates into victories.
Had you heard Tom's Bruce Lee story before today, or
no.
Did he surprise you with that one?
No, he surprised me. He surprised me, but and it's, you know, very Tom Coughlin type of mindset. But, you know, the good thing is that Tom is able to, you know, have the inspiration, motivation, but then execution is the key point.
Let's finish with some London thoughts
yeah.
here. You know, the games continue to grow there, the NFL International Series, four games this year. Is that a challenge for the Jaguars' stand in London, or does it help to have a little competition with other games? How do you see that?
Well, I think the way I see it is, you know, people are kind of discovering what we've discovered.
Yeah.
And I think what we have to do is play our game, recognize that, and elevate. So we are going to be looking at, you know, what happens here this year, and then how do we, you know, keep that going. I think London is going to be, you know, part of the Jaguars going forward.
Are you excited about free agency? Did you get excited about it, or is it?
You know something? I am excited because I think it helps us get talent. What's different now is, you know, we've had free agency signings. A lot of those were lauded and, high impact kind of stuff. Some worked, some didn't. So I think I'm more excited about we're going to make the right choices. And those players are going to come here and deliver and it not be just about the splash.
That would be nice.
Okay.
Moving forward.
Yeah.
Mr. Khan, we appreciate your time as always.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Shad Khan, Jaguars owner, joining us on Jaguars.com after the 2017 State of the Franchise. Mark Lamping scheduled to join us, though he is discussing things with the local media at the moment. Hey, you heard it from the man. He's excited about free agency.
Well, yeah, I don't know how excited I'd be if I was writing those checks, but he's written more checks than I have, JP, so he's not used to that. And I think what he said at the very end is what anybody who's read me or talked about anything with free agency is very true. Let's not have it be about the March 10th splash. Let's have it be guys who are going to come in, perform, be part of this core. Easier said than done. That's the task everybody faces. The teams that do it well do that. The teams that don't do it well are talking about this next year.
And then, as he always talks about with development around Everbank Field and now with the shipyards, the design, the proposal this morning, he wants it to be iconic and something that is going to move downtown ahead in the years to come. That's not really a surprise at all.
Guess
from
what?
Him,
it will
you know?
Be. I mean, and yeah. I was struck, and I knew this fact, but when you hear it said, it strikes even more. 3 years since the video boards went up. Is that right? I mean,
I know, right?
Pools will have been 3 years. He has this ability through the pace at which he moves, which he talked about during the pre-show, to reshape things. And now fans are sort of used to the pools and the video boards, and they've accepted that Everbank's going to be this changing, dynamic thing. And it would have been easy to not make the outside of the stadium that, to take a breath or take a break. He doesn't take a breath or take a break on things. It's let's go, let's keep moving. You know, the amphitheater's not even done yet.
Right.
And now there's already the inertia to keep going and to make it bigger, to move it across the street. The shipyard proposal, as it was done two or three years ago, things stood in the way of that. Well, instead of shrugging and saying, well, we tried, it's, well, things standing away over here, let's move it. Let's come up with something else. I think the message, again, was it's time. We're ready to go. Let's make this happen. Let's do it now. The time is now.
Fun time to be around the organization with all this happening, too.
Well, it always is. And as Shad said and as was alluded to in the press conference, you know, they've done an unbelievable job off the field. The solidification of this franchise in Jacksonville, despite some of the things Mark talked about, the challenges, but the feeling that this is what we're all about, meaning the franchise is about Jacksonville, downtown, we're committed to it. That wasn't the secure feeling 5 years ago when this regime took over, and it is now. But yet there was also the emphasis today of we get that these things rang false if you're not winning on the field. So Mark did a great job, and I say that as he's coming because I want him to hear me saying he did a great job.
You can repeat that again.
Of tying that in and making people realize the importance of football as it ties in with local revenue. It's key. It's tough for fans to hear sometime, but I thought that was a big message today.
Jaguars president Mark Lamping joining us here on set. Well done today. And
thank you, guys.
You know, we talk about this local revenue, five revenue streams that you presented. You want five more. How do you get five more?
Well, it's... We got to hope that Shad continues to support us financially, which I know he will.
Yeah.
And, I think we're only limited by the quality of our ideas. You know, we've had a lot of ideas that weren't so good. Fortunately, we didn't move forward with them. And if we can continue to try to identify those programs that can be, you know, long-lasting and can generate revenue to supplement what the football team's all about, those are things we're going to focus on.
You talked for a while today. The quote that stood out to me was probably the most important project we've discussed, the shipyards.
Well, because it's transformational for downtown Jacksonville.
Right. And is there, I asked Shad this, is there a confidence, is there a feeling, or is that a fair question yet?
Well, it's a fair question. I don't think there's any unfair questions from you. Sometimes there's no answers to them. I think it's a very fair question. I think what we have is a high level of confidence that it's a very special piece of property. You know, the St. John's River is one of the most historic rivers in this country. We think there is a great opportunity in downtown Jacksonville. We think downtown Jacksonville is a community on the verge of really exploding, particularly if the city is able to solve the pension problem. So we have great confidence. You know, whether we're the developer or not, we think that property has the opportunity to transform downtown Jacksonville for generations.
Mark Lamping with us, Jaguars president. Daly's Place, the amphitheater, the flex field, on time, on schedule still? Everybody's happy?
Oh yeah, we're on time. We're on schedule.
You won't be happy till it's done.
Like nothing else. No, I mean there's a lot of work that needs to get done. Yeah. But it's a major project, and it's not like, you know, you go to Amphitheaters or Us and order it online. You know, this is a custom designed, first of its kind facility, and there's been challenges along the way, as you would expect with something as complex as this. But you know, our first event is Saturday, May 27th, and there will be an event Saturday, May 27th. Yeah.
Back to the shipyards, you presented the proposal this morning. What goes into that presentation, and how long was it, and take us through that process?
Well, we've been working for quite some time in terms of you know, what that mixed-use development could look like. We took a lot of things into consideration. You know, what does the community want? You know, what do we think that the market will support, and try to find the connection between those two? So we've been working on it for many, many months. We've talked to developers literally across the country. A lot of people are interested in this property, and we're excited for what it can do. I know there's some things that are really important to Shad that he'll make sure happens in the shipyards, and you know, I think the result will be not only a stronger downtown, but a stronger Jacksonville franchise.
You've talked about this at this event probably since you started, but it struck me today that it was a huge part of the message. Wins and local revenue, in the long run, they do tie together, don't they? And that's a huge message today, it felt like.
I don't think there's any question about it. You know, I know, you know, last thing in the world that our fans really care about is our financial situation. That's not why they're engaged with the Jaguars, right. And we all understand that. You know, they're interested in, you know, when I spend my hard-earned money, am I feeling like I could get a good value? Is it a great entertainment experience? Is it better than what I could have done if I would have gone to the beach or just stayed at home? But the reality is, those teams that are financially struggling don't win as much. Just as local companies that are struggling financially, they don't hire as many new employees. They're getting rid of employees as opposed to hiring them. So, you know, the connection between a financially strong company and wins and losses is very direct, and particularly in today's NFL environment. You think about it. You know, the NFL has a great economic system so that, you know, teams operate on a level playing platform. The salary cap plays a huge role in that. The revenue sharing plays a huge role in that. But with the latest collective bargaining agreement, you know, there are big incentives for teams to invest. And right now, free agency market opens, and you talk about players getting big contracts, long number of years. You guys know there's only number that really matters is how much of that money is actually guaranteed, right? And not only how much is guaranteed, when am I going to receive that money as a player? So teams that have the financial capability to be able to support the cash flow around big signing bonuses, to some players, that is an advantage.
Right. There's so much talk about cap, but at this time of year, cash matters.
Cash matters, and when you receive the cash, right, matters.
And local revenue matters in that regard, too.
Well, that
comes back around.
That creates it. That creates the financial capability for a team, because all of us share the same amount of revenue from national, but where we get advantages or disadvantages versus each other is what we generate locally.
You're still optimistic moving forward, aren't you? I mean, that was the big message I took, is there are challenges in this market, but you like the structure, and even though progress has to happen, you like where it's going.
Well, I don't think there's any question. A lot of us wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the belief that something special can happen here. And, you know, would it be beyond the stretch of the imagination that at some point in the future people will look back on Jacksonville and describe it as the Green Bay of the South? Maybe that could happen. And wouldn't it be wonderful to be part of that?
We'll look forward to presenting our new revenue streams your way here in the next few months. How about that?
mostly no bad ideas.
Right, we'll do that. Okay. Mark Lamping, appreciate your time.
Thank
Mark,
you, guys.
Thank you.
Jaguars
thank
president
you.
Joining us here on Jaguars.com at the 2017 State of the Franchise. Got a lot done today, John.
Yeah, I mean, thanks to this guy, nice job. It's always a fascinating event, and it's always for people who are really trying to figure out the where's, the why's of the franchise. If you listen to this presentation and you filter through it, you understand why they're doing the things they're doing. You asked me before the show, is this unique among NFL franchises? I don't know that it's absolutely unique. I've never been around it before, but it's transparent. They told you why the shipyards are important today. They told you why the things they do off the field matter to football. That's all real stuff. And a credit to them for making sure that fans understand why they're trying to do the things they're doing.
A lot done today, a lot still to see on Jaguars.com. A little later inside the Jaguars, John, you'll have plenty of writing on the website today covering this event today. Our thanks to Tom Coughlin, the Executive Vice President of Football Operations, who joined us pregame. For Brian Sexton, John Osier, our entire crew, I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching the 2017 State of the Franchise.